Welcome to the Decentered Podcast. I'm Sean Tilley, and these are my co-hosts, Damon.
Hey, how's it going?
And Lawrence Hoff from the Fediverse Report.
Hey, y'all. How's it going?
Today we have Jazz Michael King from IFTTS. IFTTS is a trust and safety organization specifically designed for the Fediverse, and they are looking to offer a wide suite of tooling and services and benefits for people that are moderating and people that are running Fediverse instances. As I've come to understand it, there is a large margin of what needs to be done slash what could be done for making the Fediverse not just safer, but actually give admins more tooling and infrastructure that would make their quality of lives much higher. So thank you for joining us, Jazz.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me on and giving me the opportunity to talk about IFTTS.
Yeah, wonderful to have you. So I will open up with a soft question. What brought you to the Fediverse?
Ooh, really good question. Long history in open source, in online community building, in web work. I moved to America in 95, 96, and got involved in some early, sort of riding the dot-com boom of web work then. So among other things, built a lot of online communities and websites for local businesses and such. And being a displaced Welshman abroad, the web, the internet started opening up these really incredible opportunities for folks to interconnect across space and time. And I found that just fascinating and liberating, and saw the social web, let's say, degenerate into these closed walls, corporate driven. Like them or lump them, it wasn't my cup of tea. So I found myself increasingly disengaged from what we call social media now. And that was a real shame, because I have friends and family in Wales, in England, in France, the places that I'd moved and lived and worked. And they were all on name your platform, and I wasn't. So I dabbled around and in my spare time tried to build a few things and failed miserably at all of them. And I happened upon Mastodon, I would imagine 2017, I think it was. And, open source, W3 standards, clear stated purpose, mission, ticked all the boxes. So sniffed around, got involved, was looking for a new project. So I stood up the toot.wales server the intent there being to create a bilingual social media service in Welsh and English to foster the use of Welsh online. It's there's a whole set of politics behind the language of Wales, Cymraeg, and how it's treated in the UK and such. So I thought it would be an interesting experiment to see if I could nudge along the use of Welsh in online media while having the fun of setting up a community and learning all about Mastodon and the open social web. So that really turned into me firing up the toot.wales service. I think it was 2018, noodled around on that for a while, and then eventually went loud and started advertising it to folks. And, it's now, I was just saying to my wife the other day, I'm really proud of where it's gotten to. Great spectrum of folks, a healthy dose of Welsh language usage, which was the intent. But also, I think we've just done a good, solid job of being, a good Fediverse citizen as far as, the way we handle our server and our moderation team and our policies and so forth. So that's what brought me along. And like I said, open source and standards really ticks the boxes for me. I believe social media, I believe that the connectivity of humans is best served in a nonprofit medium.
Yeah, no, I totally get that, and I'm inclined to agree. You were kind of talking a little bit about, moderation and policies and how that kind of came together for the curation and the success of your community. Could you sort of illustrate a little bit about what informed your decisions on what policies were appropriate?
Oh, I mean, I brought everything from my experience to bear. I wrote a few things up front about how I didn't want to be in charge of it. I just wanted to push the boats out and let the community govern itself as a, you know, as a high functioning community. And along the way, as is always the case when you manage a community, problems arise. And you know, the response can be to pull the rug and walk away, to ignore it, or to get more informed, learn, read, talk. And increasingly found myself engaged with other moderators in the Fediverse and just started to get exposed to a lot of issues and concerns that I hadn't been exposed to, primarily because I had not participated in the big social media platforms. So things that I just wasn't aware of. That then led to trying to codify that, trying to write it down, getting policy up and out to the community, bringing on moderators, trying to get a breadth of diversity in the moderation team, and really growing the community again to establish social norms, reinforce the social norms, and see if that's something. I mean, it's all experimental, right? But we're still figuring out, can we honestly do this? Is it something that can be achieved, especially in the volunteer model and the uncompensated model? Should it be uncompensated? And yeah, I think it was just a tremendous amount of self-learning, self-education, and an awful lot of shutting up and listening
That's a
in a
really
number of
important
groups.
part. Yeah. So, was there a particular event or circumstances that caused you to create IFTTAS? Was it something that happened within the Fediverse that triggered that thought?
So my previous job involved a lot of personal health information, the transacting of a lot of personal health data. I worked for a nonprofit that contracted with state and federal health agencies in the United States. And so I came into operating a microservice with an awful lot of not fear, but just knowledge of the liabilities in the space of operating a service online. And so my sort of legal and compliance spidey senses were tingling all the while. And as people were asking questions about GDPR, copyright takedown, DMCA, that sort of thing, I would find myself like, I'm not a lawyer, but and offering some guidance. And as with all folks who find themselves frequently answering the same questions, wrote a FAQ, which became a list, which became a document, and found myself in more and more groups of server administrators or server moderators, community managers, sharing those questions and sharing those gaps. So along the way there, one of the things that really spurred me to get engaged was early work on shared deny lists. You know, federated software is federated, and I was starting to see a lot of folks get interested, spin up a server, turn it on, immediately federate with the entirety of the Fediverse, which includes an awful lot of bad actors. And it just seemed like a relatively simple problem to solve in terms of some consensus-driven deny list efforts. So I joined as many efforts there as I could, which led to something called FediFence, which was a short-lived but highly teachable moment of what it might look like to get folks to find those commonalities, find some level of consensus, and put their name behind, we think this opinion is worth other people looking at it. And while that was happening, you know, I think it was sort of May of 22 that Musk said I might buy Twitter, and we saw a big influx. And that spurred a lot of thought about, we saw folks taking on new moderators and folks asking increasingly complex questions, which led to some community growth in various moderator communities online. which had my community juices flowing of what would it look like to resource this. And then November of 22 came along, and Mr. Musk walked into Twitter HQ with his kitchen sink, and it just sort of exploded. That brought an awful lot of people in, and many of them had content, conduct moderation, regulatory compliance, trust and safety concerns. And it's not just about content moderation, right? There's also network abuse, service abuse, advanced persistent threats, nation state actors, spam, a litany of things. And just from having spent 30 years in software and data, I was watching so many people trying to learn it from scratch over and over and over again. And yeah, I think increasingly conversations turn to we can collate some of this, we can collect this up, we can keep it as being drawn from this community, but let's get it up and out so other people can share in it, learn from it, and connect people wherever possible when they come across their own gaps in what they're doing. So it was probably a few inspirational moments along the way there, but really November 22 just really drove the conversation. And increasingly folks, especially with Twitter firing so many of their trust and safety staff, it just really drove the conversation around, if this is to work, will there be problems? Will there be gaps? And if so, how might we cover them?
Yeah, no, 100%. And what was the starting point? Like, what was your kind of first step with incorporating? Oh.
So many failed steps. Not my first nonprofit, but my first nonprofit funded by grants. I had not worked in the grant space before. Most of my nonprofit activities were either, as I said, large healthcare activities, or smaller, not self-funded, but the small donation-funded activities. To get into the grant space, was educational for sure. Working with civil society foundations, trying to figure out what their interests are, what their needs are, how to align the work. The actual incorporation of an entity, was pretty painful, all things considered. So when we started, there's a thing in the United States called fiscal sponsorship, which is sort of an umbrella charity to house smaller charities that are just getting started. And that was our first advisory group that we put together, which was just an ad hoc group of folks sticking their hands up and saying, let's figure this out. Let's plan on what this entity would look like. And it was widely agreed that a fiscal sponsorship approach would work well. And we interviewed a few, and we settled on a fiscal sponsor. And the deeper we got into the conversation with them, the less they wanted to be involved. Simply because, when you're having a conversation with a civil society organization who are used to working on specific harms in specific locales in specific ways, and then you start throwing up things like child sexual abuse media, hate speech, disinformation, nation state actors, they as a fiscal sponsor are taking on all of that liability for you.
Yep.
And for a fee, right? We get our grants in, they take a fee, and they offer all the back office work, the finances, the insurance, all the hullabaloo that goes with running a company, as well as the legal liabilities of your actions. So at the very last minute, and not to say a bad word against our sponsors, they're great people and they've been incredibly helpful, but they just couldn't make it work, and we had to incorporate as a standalone entity with a few days left to go on the grant application. So it was all a bit hurried and harried at the end there, but having incorporated a few businesses and fired up a couple nonprofits, we scraped through and we incorporated. We worked on planning mostly conversations, ad hoc conversations, November through January. In February, we ran our first needs assessment, which really codified what would we do if we put this thing together. And then we incorporated, I want to say it was like the end of July. And as I said, then at that point, we were able to complete our grant applications and move the entity forward. So we started work sort of mid-August as slowly as we could. We had a little bit of seed funding from a private foundation, and then waiting on the larger grant, which unfortunately didn't show until mid-November. So that took that was painful, and not just the time lost, but to then come online right as the North American, you know, Thanksgiving, various festival periods and holiday periods all the way through the new year. So it was just another 6 weeks of lost time, basically, to really get anything moving. But we are accelerating now. But to your question, it was really based around having the fiscal sponsor in place, having a couple of grants in place, and being able to demonstrate we have enough to get going. Let's get going. Then it was a question of putting a board together. I set the thing up immediately so that I am neither in charge nor cannot not be fired. So, you know,
that's smart.
I wanted very independent and very strong, diverse governance of the entity up front. And they've been tremendously supportful. So we have a sort of a corporate board with lots of great nonprofit experience. And then we have an advisory board of folks to sort of monitor our activities and both advise and slow me down or point me in another direction.
So what are the first things that IFTAS is going to do? I know that you just said you did a needs assessment survey. Like I passed all these like hurdles and hoops jumped through with incorporation and funding and things like that. What does IFTAS intend to do?
Great question. I'll preface it with, by the time we got moving, I felt it was necessary to just recheck our findings and run another needs assessment. I'm really glad we did. We had a tremendous uptake on the second needs assessment. We had over 130 responses representing over 200 servers, about half of which were Mastodon, half not, which was, you know, very different from early 23. We had a lot of PixelFed and Lemmy and whatever. So we asked those folks to tell us how many accounts they moderate. And a lot of the questions, all of the questions in the needs assessment are optional. So not everyone fully identifies who they are or what server they're representing. But the needs assessment that we reran in August, at the low end, it covers about 12% of all Fediverse accounts. At the high end, about 20, depending on who we think answered. So from that, we redoubled our look at what we would be working on, and we came up with so the highest ranked need at that point was detection, monitoring, reporting of child sexual abuse material. And the timing was a piece of that puzzle because there had been some heavy press in the summer around CSAM. CSAM is the acronym in the industry for child sexual abuse material. So there had been quite a bit of press and a lot of folks starting to worry about it. And again, having that regulatory and legal compliance background, I thought that would be something we could take on pretty quickly. So in response to it being the highest rated need in the needs assessment and something with a clear pathway to putting solutions in place, CSAM detection and reporting came top of the list. Right there next to it is a community portal. Folks who are doing the work, you know, we asked, what's your support system? Who do you talk to? And there was a lot of interest in being convened in a space. So we're working on a community website, which fingers crossed, we'll have something in the next week or two, where we can bring in moderators, researchers, trust and safety professionals, volunteers, just that whole community, and find ways for those folks to share in a whole ton of resources we're going to be making available. We've been, you know, pulling in papers, tools, services, bookmarks, all that sort of thing from our community. So we'll library that up with, you know, some shared consistent vocabulary around how to move through that content. Collaboration spaces so that people can work on, we're thinking things like we could work on core terms of service, codes of conduct, see if we can wikify some of that and let the community collaborate around those things. And some wellness and self-help materials, which is another big ask. So we're bringing in content from folks in the traumatic content moderation space, post-trauma. We saw a lot of folks really asking for wellness, resourcing, ways to deal with traumatic content. So, you know, we'll push all that into the community portal. Those are our two big gets that I'm really hoping February will shine for us. Separately, we're working on something very near and dear to my heart. We had a volunteer moderator panel that stood up and sort of met with us every couple weeks, listened to what we were doing. As the funding came online and we sort of got contracting and legal and insurance in place, we're now in a place where we can offer stipends to those folks. So we put out a call for a revamped moderator advisory council, and we are offering small for sure to start with, but a stipend that says if you put in 2 hours a week to helping us out, we will pay you for your time. And so hopefully some of those folks will, you know, pitch in with the community site, pitch in on the chat service, pitch in reviewing documents or you know, certainly reviewing the needs assessment in our activities. So that should come online in the next 28 days or so. On the, you know, service side, we are putting the finishing touches on FediCheck, which is a denialist management app. This will allow admins and moderators, Mastodon to start, and will grow to other services. You'll be able to sign in with your server credentials. We'll double check that you have the admin rights necessary. Just a few permissions on the OAuth loop. We will read your denial list, your block list. We will compare it to an IFTAS curated list called CARIAT, and any gaps, if you tick the box, we will happily push those to your server. So you can subscribe to a curated worst of the worst minimum necessary denial list for domains that, and this is geared specifically at newcomers to the space, not the people who already have service won't be able to use it. But for the newcomers to the space who just need a day one, where do I start from? We have a nice policy document that describes the curated list and a lot of links to then go off and learn about how to grow your expertise in this area, because you're about to need quite a bit of expertise in this area. The two other small things we've got running right now, we just commissioned some guidance for microservice providers around compliance with Europe's Digital Services Act. A lot of folks need help with understanding what should I know, whether I want to comply or not, what should I know about what I'm not complying with, what I might want to comply with. And we thought DSA was a good place to start. There's a lot of pieces of that puzzle that will impact electronic service providers. So we're commissioning that advice. We'll have that shortly, and then we'll move on to things like the online safety bill in the UK from Ofcom. We're working with them to figure out what people will need and compliance around the world with other extraterritorial legislation. And moderator personal digital safety. We're working with a company called Tall Poppy, which provides services, primarily those are provided to the big companies, the dating sites, the social media platforms, the gaming sites, to help preserve safety for their very visible staff, and they've done. We've been working with them a while, and they've come up with a way for us to contract with them at smaller numbers to buy their services for folks in the Fediverse who want those services. They are personal digital safety insofar as it helps reduce your online footprint, hardens your moderator or admin accounts, make sure you're doing all the right things around preserving the access to that, and most importantly, comes with live trained support if you are currently being harassed, doxxed, attempted to be doxxed, that sort of thing. You actually have someone you can reach out to who's trained and knowledgeable in the space. So we're very happy to fund that activity. And I'll stop there. There's a few more things, but it's about.ifttest.org. You get a nice list of all the things we're working on.
There's so many great stuff in there, Jess. It's really awesome to hear. Like, one of so many questions as well that I want to ask, but maybe first one on like FediCheck and like the whole idea that you're building like an IFTTS-based block list on like Carryat. Like, can you go a little bit more into detail of like how do you build like a block list for yourself to check against? Like, how's that process been?
Yeah. You know, I had a lot of history working on various lists with, Toot Wales, with moderator communities, with Oliphant and his block lists, and working on consensus-driven block lists. I'm going to just from now on keep saying denialists just to get away from the block list conundrum. So, you know, I think we learned a lot over the year and a half preceding this activity around the community's response to denialists and denialist activities. As we said up front, there's a very diverse spectrum of folks engaged in these activities. And IFTTS, for now, as I said, we want to support newcomers to the space, but we want to do it in a very structured and organized manner. So there are some RFC, there are some guiding principles to how to do this. You know, one of the things about IFTTS is let's lean on what's already been learned in other sectors, right? So email, which is in many ways so very similar to federated messaging. You can send any message to anyone on the planet as long as you know their address, right? So spam management and bad actor management is something that has been approached with DNS BL technology for quite some time. And those are trusted third parties who do the work of monitoring and determining who are the bad actors in the space. So leaning on existing guidance on how to construct an activity, what a policy might look like, we put forward a policy that said, how about we canvas the servers that cover the largest number of accounts as one approach of many feasible and viable approaches. There's no single denialist that works for everyone. But what about one with the intent of providing a minimum necessary day one starter list? How about we just look at a big proportion of the Fediverse? What are they blocking? What do they agree on? If we were to synthesize that, aggregate those findings up, where would we land? And we land at, I think it's around 100, 125 domains. It is by no means the most stringent denialist. It does not protect 80% of people from 80%. You know, it is literally minimum necessary. It is the worst of the worst. And by definition of the aggregation, we think it represents a reflection of what the bulk of the Fediverse is already subjected to being denied access to. So as least opinionated as possible, by aggregating that up, putting that out, we put that out for public comment. We had about a month of very engaged and passionate responses from the community. Some wanted more, some wanted less. We did add human curation. Originally, we were just going to feed it through. If X number of servers agree, let's add it to the list. But we've now changed that up to involve human curation. Nothing can add on to the list without eyes being laid on it and an approval made. Slowed down the update. And I think we're at a spot now where we have a viable first product, something to build on. My longer-term thinking is FediCheck could incorporate or offer other people's lists, your own lists. One thing that I think is really important is where you share space with a server that you know and trust, maybe. Maybe you are really big fans of, I don't know, bedroomfurniture.social because you're doing kitchenfurniture.social. So you just want bedroomfurniture.social's list. Wouldn't it be great if you could just like give me what they've got? So, you know, a lot of community engagement and feedback, doing it in the open as much as possible, making sure we monitored all the conversations around it, caught a lot of questions. The policy document itself has a list of questions that we think we've answered pretty well. And yeah, we'll be putting that to the test in the coming weeks, to be honest. We'll see. We've got some folks lined up who want to try it out. And this doesn't work unless we get enough general assent that it's not the worst thing to turn on if you just fired up a server and you need a list, right? You can pick holes in any list. There's dozens. There are maybe a handful, 4, 5, 6 that have broad appeal. This one, I think, is clear in its purpose and its scope. And as I said, strongly, there's a strong policy document that describes who, how, why, where, when, and an appeal process. So I think it's strong, and I'm looking forward to seeing it hit the street and get some use or be torn apart because it's the worst thing in the world. But there's no way to find out without doing it, right?
Yeah.
So like I said, we're close to being able to offer that for some pilot testing.
That's wild. And yeah, you kind of have to start with the most basic thing before you can get to a better, more sophisticated system. That's just how it is. But I was just kind of curious, as far as your experience has gone with moderation in the Fediverse so far, a lot of people will say that the experience of moderating for a decentralized federated space is very much different than trying to moderate for a singular walled garden. Do you have insights on how those things are different exactly?
I don't know that I have insights. That sounds very learned of me. But, you know, straight off the bat, if you take a Meta versus Twitter, right? So Meta, as I understand it, I'm not the biggest expert on their policies. I don't use the products. But as I understand it, Meta disallows nudity. Twitter allows some nudity. So Meta gets to write their policy, and I've seen some incredibly detailed guidance on what is and isn't nudity, but it's no nudity. And anything that crosses that line, they strike because they have a single policy and a single audience that is subject and has, you know, clicked through to agree to those user agreements. If someone on Twitter posts some nudity, people on Meta's products don't see it because it's a walled garden. We have, depending on how you count, but you know, let's say round numbers, 25,000 policies. Right? For every instance that is federating, someone's in charge of it, and someone has made a decision or ignored having to make a decision around whether or not they allow, let's say, nudity. So if you are on a server that disallows nudity, a la Meta, but you are connected to a server like Twitter that allows it, you now have an immediate mismatch of policy, of guidance, of opinion. And, you know, IFTAS is not going to be in the business of whether or not you should or shouldn't have nudity. We will tell you when you might need to do age verification. But finding ways to communicate those differences across those servers has been one of the hardest things. And it, even within a singular platform. So let's take Mastodon, obviously the biggest player in the space for now. here comes Threads. So even with a relatively cohesive product, there is such a breadth of opinion on what constitutes good content moderation in the Mastodon space, and then translate that over to PixelFed or Lemmy, where the audiences come in with very different ideals about what they're trying to achieve, who they're trying to connect with, and how they want that content to move about. So the interconnectivity of the providers is one of the first major stumbling blocks, because we're in a relatively trustless environment. And unless, like I said, unless you are absolutely trust bedroomfurniture.social, why should you take IFTAS's Cariad list, someone else's list, this person's list? You've never seen or heard of these people. And more to the point, taking the wrong one can sort of instantly flag you as someone who's just not cut out to do a great job in this space. So one of the things we really, really want to see happen on the community portal is dredging out, sifting out commonalities. Even if you have a difference of opinion on allowing, let's go back to nudity, do you allow nudity or not? But understanding the impact of allowing it or not allowing it in the context of your peer moderators and community managers, I think will elevate our ability to describe our content moderation approach as a, you know, decentralized bubble of craziness. I mean, it is a very broad spectrum of thought, especially in an environment that has historically been very welcoming to groups that may not be so welcome or so safe in other platforms. And those can be quite expressive communities.
Like, just to keep going with the example that you bring about for nudity, for example, like if you take that one, do you think that in the end, that means that the Fediverse will move to like separate sort of clusters of like, hey, this is going to be a cluster of servers that does allow nudity. This will be a cluster of servers that doesn't allow nudity, and that they will become recognized for their content moderation policies as such?
I think to some degree it's already clustered. And I think the clustering reflects clustering of email providers. Right? I mean, email is not one homogenous mass of service provision. Gmail, AOL, Yahoo are a big cluster, and they have rules. But, you know, there's private email, there's disposable email, there's clusters of email. We don't have any hard, clear borders for the most part in the Fediverse. But I think that clustering is reflected through communities that have coalesced around ideals, approaches, whether it's safe space, server growth, free speech. I mean, you know, we have completely defederated free speech services now. That's a cluster, right? They're out there using ActivityPub in their own bubble, and so I think we'll see clustering to a degree. And I think if some of that is driven by trust, where we can, as providers, as administrators, as community leaders, create bubbles of trust, then that could be discerned to be cluster-like. But I think the joy of ActivityPub and decentralization is you can bubble one piece of your problem with this cluster, and bubble a different piece of your problem with that cluster and cherry pick and build the community and the set of policies that work for you and your community. And it's those freedoms that come from decentralization that I think offer the greatest hope and scope for folks trying to build communities online. It's been incredible to watch the growth, right? From a million to 2 million, 2.5 million to, I don't know, 10, 15 million. Again, no one knows the numbers anymore, but let's say somewhere between 10 and 15 million accounts created. By definition, right, as more and more folks come in, we dilute any homogeneity that exists in our community and audience. And certainly there's social norms to protect. There's ideals to protect. But the free-flowing ability to stand up community and operate your community with what's best for your community, hopefully based in best practice and lessons learned and a peer, a community of peers that can guide you, is one of the most foundational joys I have in web, right? You know, I come from in Britain, we would say a working class background. I was on my own at 16. I never got to go to further education or, you know, do a college degree or anything. And the web, with its freedom to educational resources, talking to people in different parts of the world, connecting with the length and breadth of human experience and writing and learning, teaching, is just amazing. It's just so incredibly amazing. And for that to be sullied by the freedom to be a bad actor in the space and to harm people's ability to enjoy that space, that's what gets me out of bed in the morning.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Not to go on tangent, but that's something that I say, like, similarly, in terms of like free speech, you know, where we are these advanced beings with this advanced technology, and people want to use, right, like these beautiful gifts that we have, like to spew nonsense, right, like not evolve or advance, you know, humanity. And so I very much connect with what you were saying, but yep. You said such a breath of things, and Lauren's asked some wonderful questions. And so I wanted to touch upon, you alluded to the report over the summer, right? In terms of the CSAM, the Stanford report, and, you know, there was a lot of reactions in many different directions to that report. And so, one, I would like to know your thoughts on that, but then also, in terms of like just nudity and trust and safety, one of the things that I find a little odd is like compared to Twitter or compared to Instagram, the Fediverse doesn't have as many of a young audience, right? And so to me, that's concerning, right? We want to teach the values of the open web, right? And teach them. And so it kind of feels like we have left them on this island to remain with big social, and that I find problematic. So I would like to know, you know, again, your thoughts on the report over the summer, but then also how, from a trust and safety perspective, can we make it so that this younger audience can come in and we can start to, you know, kind of wean them off of, you know, being tethered to the TikToks and Instagram and stuff, and understand the open culture of the social web.
Sure. So I'll hit the CSAM question first. Come back to the younger audience, and the report. I'm thinking you're referencing the Stanford Internet Observatory findings.
Correct.
That yes. There was rather more CSAM prevalent on the Fediverse than people might have thought. And, you know, coupled with the not great belief that it's highly defederated, it isn't. So At the time, I was participating on a work group, and I want to say Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, and it was a work group around trust and safety in the web, and specifically working with some folks. We had three work group sessions around what that means for the Fediverse, and that ended up being referenced in the Atlantic Council's, I'm blanking on the name of the paper right now, but there was a really great piece of writing that came out of the Atlantic Council around that work, and references, again, you know, as I said, there's some pretty solved problems here. And I will also just stress, I am not a child safety expert. I've learned a lot more about it in the past 12 months than I ever thought I would. And I'm still digging deep into that. As part of the work we were already doing, that report merely propelled the activity, right? So we had the needs assessment, we had the report. I personally saw less widely circulated reports in January of that year. And then I think, was it the Washington Post, I think, picked up on the Stanford piece, and that was a big story. And, you know, not having an IFTAS in place at the time, by the by, I would hope that the next time something like that happens, IFTAS can be one of the voices that can sort of stick their hand up and say, we have a rebuttal, we have findings, we have thoughts, let's balance out your reporting here so that you're hearing the full story. To your question about the report itself, it's not unreal. And there are, of course, definitions to be had around CSAM. There is the known CSAM, known to child safety and law enforcement, which is mostly handled through hash and match databases, right? We hash the images, we check for known hashes, that's a match, that's CSAM. Please do the thing that you need to do depending on which country you're sitting in. And that's the one piece that IFTAS is working on now, because it's, I believe, relatively inarguable. That's a finite number of known media artifacts, and this is well solved and easily, not so easily, but the pathway to it is very clear to solving that problem. Getting into things like self-generated or computer-generated, I'm not the right person to have at-length debates about the morality of it, but I will say this. On the computer-generated, we saw a lot of folks go through a lot of trauma moderating computer-generated last year, with, frankly, malicious injections of the content to force that issue, to force that to happen. So those are real harms. Those are real things. And we want to, at a minimum, get workflow and tooling around that. And as we talked about, some self-help materials and educational materials around managing trauma and dealing with traumatic content.
So one thing that I would say about my experience of reading the Stanford Internet Observatory's report on CSAM is that it's frankly very upsetting to go through all the depths of the paper and do the reading and then see people publicly react so negatively to the report. I think one thing that really struck me was a lot of people just kind of hand-waved the fact and said, oh, well, we're defederated from them. It's not a problem. Whereas, you know, that doesn't get rid of the fact that it's happening. We're all just filtering it out so that we don't have to see it, so that it doesn't interact with our servers, which, yeah, there's a liability side of having that impact your social servers. You don't want that content anywhere near your computer. But at the same time, mass defederating a space like that doesn't stop the space from existing. And I think that's always kind of bothered me, how a lot of people looked at that report and treated it like it was some kind of hit piece, rather than saying, how do we proactively move forward and actually do something about it?
Yeah, I think the intent, and I've spoken with folks at Stanford around this, I think the intent was to highlight, is there a reaction? You know, it's the web, right? The web has an awful lot of stuff on it. And a lot of it you don't want to see, and a lot of it law enforcement may or may not be involved in dealing with, and could be terroristic content, could be a whole range of stuff. I did see some hand waving on the "we're defederated," and frankly, I think that's a reasonable response from volunteer community managers who are trying to build space for their communities online. And as I said up front, one of IFTAS's goals is to help each one of those community managers close the gaps for the stuff that they didn't come into this space ready to deal with, and to fire up some open source software because you want to talk about race cars and find that you're now dealing with child sexual abuse material is a tough ask, right? We're saying that, you know, let's say 20,000 people operating service. Do they all need to do the work and research that IFTAS has done over the past 12 months? Could they? Does anyone on the other side of the conversation want to talk to 20,000 volunteers? No. So I think hand waving it away with defederation is a reasonable response for a large number of unpaid, uncompensated community leaders who are desperately trying to put safe space online for their folks. The folks who poo-pooed the issue, "Oh, Japanese service this," or "computer generated that," we have to expect some of that. We're on the web, we're connected to everyone. There's a broad range of expression and opinion, but illegal is illegal, and IFTAS will provide a service in the coming, as soon as possible. We are working really hard on this. It is a really hard problem to solve at scale, federated. So let me actually tell you what we're doing. So There's a roadmap on our website which talks about all of the various pieces of this puzzle. But in terms of actual media detection, we're working with several known, already in place services. We're starting with one that does most of the heavy lifting for us, but we will move on to a couple more once we're complete. We have licensed software and obtained support to implement. The software presupposes that it's for your own environment. IFTAS doesn't have the media, right? So we have to build tooling to get people to opt in to sending their media to us and for us to hold it. Media will never, by the way, leave IFTAS infrastructure. We're not sending it on to any other companies or agencies or anything like that. We will hash it. The hash will leave, matched or no matched. Pertinent, we'll deal with. Non-pertinent, we scrub it, we never see it again. Once we get that working, it will be offered at a pay what you can, even if it's zero, approach. Like I said, we're funded through the end of the year, and if we get this up and running, I think we can probably go back out and raise some more funding to keep the service operating. Much like our denialist approach, we're starting with achievable minimum viable, right? So let's at least offer for the folks who do want to take care of this problem and are willing to sign an agreement with IFTAS. We'll run a basic webhook situation where media flows into IFTAS. IFTAS queues it, hashes it, match or no match, send a report back out if we need to. And the delay is in the making that work for a federated space. That's the piece of the puzzle where we are literally just spending money and time to get that in place for folks to use. So to the question about the report, I think it was real. I think the responses are real. I think the space is maturing. And, you know, obviously we cover a lot of jurisdictions, right? If you look at the needs assessment, I forget now, but I think the data is in over, for those respondents, it was over 24 countries of data jurisdiction, and the moderators were in, I want to say, 30-odd, 40-odd countries. So every one of those jurisdictions has a different approach. You know, the U.S. has a mandatory regulatory reporting, and other countries like, just delete it, please delete it. So there's a lot of movement toward noticing that this is going to become a bigger problem. I think we've seen, currently, I think what we've seen is malicious use of the media to cause trouble. I don't think we've seen people trying to sell it or move it around. And I think we've seen a lot of media that is objectionable in some parts of the Fediverse and not so objectionable in other parts of the Fediverse based on cultural whatever. I'm not going to get into those details. But to your question, I think the report was relatively well received by the folks who are operating the bulk of the services. The little pushback I saw, we can easily ignore, move past, put a product on the table, start the work of putting in just regular standard practice to demonstrate that we take this seriously as a community of operators, and that we really do think it's a real problem. So that instead of hand waving away, well, I blocked that server, we can say, well, I'm working with IFTAS or anyone else who stands up in this space. I hope more people come along and strengthen these opportunities and solutions for folks. So the transition from that to younger audiences, there's an interesting, you know, it's an interesting week to be having this conversation with the hearings that were held in the United States and the big social media companies this week around child safety. I think it is very fair to say, Damon, as you mentioned, that the audience on the Fediverse currently skews older than not. And you suggested that it's important to open people's eyes to open social. And, you know, I would counter that. Having worked in software and data and a lot of software design for the past 30 years, you know, I think about, let's say, texting on your telephone, right? You have a computer in your pocket stronger than any computer I had access to, and I was 12, 13, 14 years old, connected to this incredible thing called the web and the internet. And on there is a function on just about every one of these phones where you can send a text message to anyone else on the planet. And I don't think any of the kids you're talking about, or the, you know, the teens that we would love to be availing themselves of wholesome, better social media, have any understanding about how SMS works. And I would say, and nor should they have to, right? It should just work. And not to be too crystal gazing, but imagine in a small number of years that you have your text app and your ActivityPub app, and your ActivityPub app is just a thing that just does the thing that you want it to do in the context of how you want to do it. I don't know that the Fediverse, as is currently writ, is ready to deal with the child safety issues around bringing teens into this space. Clearly, the big companies aren't, right? And as a parent, I can tell you I've been through the travails of what is appropriate for my child at this point in their development, and what do I want them doing that I can't see, and, you know, all of those parental issues around use of technology. I would personally, so first and foremost, does every platform, as in its current context and presentation, need to serve the needs of everyone? If there is a teen or young person context that ActivityPub can service, I don't think it's been built yet. And if it were to be built, I would love for it to be built with good, strong child safety folks and policies and best practices hard baked into it. But I think that's going to be in the next stage of the evolution of the Fediverse and ActivityPub, wheresoever it goes. I think it's fine that, let's say, Mastodon is the crowd that it is. You know, I've started more and more thinking about ActivityPub and Mastodon and OpenSocial as RSS. You know, the more I get into it, the more I just realize I just miss RSS and I want RSS back. And I think, you know, one way that I'm thinking about this is to just call it really simple social syndication. You know, at its heart, we put some characters or some image or video or audio into a device, and then we send it somewhere. And we might do it in the context of a short form blog or a long form blog or picture sharing on PixelFed, but it's all just a smidge of data wrapped in context. And the difference between RSS and RSS, really simple social, is we can hopefully define our audience and control our audience about where we're sending the material, who can reply, and maybe we want replies, maybe we don't want replies. You know, RSS obviously is broadcast, right? We send it out. Here's the thing. Here's the latest blog piece. Approach that, but add interactivity in a social graph, and I think you have the future of ActivityPub. And someone somewhere will figure out a way to build something that is good for 13 to 15-year-olds, 17 to 18-year-olds, people who want to talk about bedroom furniture, right? Look at Bookworm, right? I love Bookworm because it clearly says we're using this standard. You don't need to know about it. You don't need to care about open source, open social, W3. These are not words you ever need to care about. But here's a great service where this kind of activity happens in this context. And when you're here, that's how it's expressed. And I would just hope to see a lot more of that.
That's a wonderful answer, and thank you for going into such detail. I think, like, based on kind of what you've been talking about for the last few minutes, do you have kind of a vision or anticipation for what IFTTAS will be doing in the future? Like, what is your big picture vision for trust and safety in the Fediverse, maybe two, especially, 3 years out?
To tack on to that, because we have to talk about the elephant in the room, but especially with threads coming
Mastodon.
In.
Sure. Yeah. Whew. The room chills. So, well, big picture, will most likely encounter and react or in some way respond to threads. So let's combine the two things. I would probably start this answer with some really boring, geeky stuff around what is a protocol, what is a platform, what is a community. And I increasingly, I don't know if want is the right word, but I increasingly support ActivityPub, the protocol. I am less inclined to support ActivityPub, the platform. I think we need a lot of platforms. And I think the notion that everything should federate to everything is already out of date. As we have seen, you know, IFTTAS specifically has monitored and responded and where possible helped with folks who stood up federated social services using ActivityPub, and within 24 hours, drowning in hate, bigotry, abuse, harassment, network service abuse, that they had no way of fathoming was a threat they had to consider, nor could anyone else see it because we all defederated from it. So we see, you know, people with self-hosted instances, a long history of publishing online, come into this space and say, I'm here in the friendly, better social media, ActivityPub open source, and here's my message. And 300 replies of the most vile abuse that none of us see because our platforms are defederated from that abuse. So the protocol, I hope, is strengthened and grown to accommodate these contexts. I believe that at the protocol level, we need reply controls. Why shouldn't that be at the protocol level? I am the least concerning person to worry about their experience online, but I will demonstrate. You know, IFTTS put a blog article out last week, and it resulted in an incredible amount of insidious responses with, you know, death threats and calls for self-harm and so forth. And that happens all day, every day to people. All day, every day to people. And 80-85% of the audience doesn't know and gets to back to our problem, hand wave it away. I'm defederated from that. I've shut the curtains, I've closed the door, I'm in my house, it's not a problem for me. So I would like to see the protocol take this on. And not for the protocol to say, this is good, this is bad. That should never and will never occur. But surely in a communications protocol, we should have some governance over our communications. So, big picture, I would like to see the protocol strengthened. And as with all standards, that will probably mean bringing in some folks who are less than welcome in the communities. And rightfully so. Communities are freedom of association and therefore freedom to not associate, right?
That's one of the biggest freedoms I think a lot of people tend to forget about, is that you have the choice to decide who you associate with. You don't have to subject yourself to the worst of the worst just simply because they have some imaginary right to be heard.
I mean,
by
it's
you.
Equivalent to suggesting that freedom of speech is equivalent to getting a bullhorn and standing outside someone's house and yelling at them because you have the right to.
Yeah.
Now, if I did that, if I responded to folks who are yelling at me about I'm allowed to say whatever I want, sure, just don't come yelling through my front door. You know, I get to say not here. So, you know, let's stick to the question at hand. Big picture, I think if you think about the web, right? And I don't know, I don't want to age anyone, but I think I have a book right here on my shelf from 1998, which was the 1,000 Websites Handbook, which is printed on paper with a picture in black and white of the HTML3 websites of the day. The web has grown tremendously, and on the web are social media platforms, bulletin board forums, all manner of one way and multifunctional web applications. And I don't see why ActivityPub platforms can't be that. Let's take a good protocol and let's build on it. Let's build Bookworm. Someone came up with the idea the other day of Recipe Club, where it's like a book club, but we all cook the same thing and then we talk about, you know, I don't know what ingredients we changed or something. And like, let's put that on ActivityPub, but let's put it on a platform of, I don't know, Recipe Worm or something. And let's be sure that when I post my Welsh cakes recipe, gotta get my Welsh cakes dig in. When I post my Welsh cakes recipe, I'm not responded to with pictures of a shotgun and burning houses or whatever, right? Like, don't I get to do that? So let's keep the protocol and the platform separate so that we can build communities. And, you know, I have my personal thoughts around what is appropriate and inappropriate, right or wrong, and what should and shouldn't be said or perpetrated. But big picture, Threads is coming. I don't know their motivations. My gut feeling is it's a little bit of first mover in the space. You know, I think Mark Zuckerberg desperately wants to eat Elon Musk's lunch and have the new Twitter, kill Twitter and have the new Twitter. And they're a social media company. They see social media stuff happening. It's their job to be in the space. They also have a lot of external regulatory pressures coming at them. It's already from the EU. UK and Australia are close behind. Based on the hearings in Congress in the United States this week, maybe the US at some point. So, you know, motivations aside, they're coming. And I think too much of the conversation has been around, why should they be allowed in our community? I don't think there is a community. I think there are several really, really good communities, and they will be another one. And there will be some tendrils of interactivity. And I will say very, very, very cautiously with respect to your young people don't use ActivityPub or, you know, boring open social standards based. I have a lovely selection of nieces and nephews. I'd love to know if they're out in the woods or on the beach or having a party or whatever it is they're up to. And you know, by dint of the choices I've made, I can't see them. And if I get to see them, I think I'm going to find a way to be okay with that personally. From IFTAS's perspective, we want to be sure that we're supporting people who want to federate with those kinds of actors and people who don't want to federate with those kinds of actors. So IFTAS will absolutely keep on researching the whys and wherefores of what those activities look like, what the dangers are, what the benefits may be, and how to work your way around them. If nothing else, to again be making informed decisions with regard to the peers in the space that you've adopted as the folks who can guide you in your execution of your community practice. So Big picture. I want an app on everyone's phone 3 years from now with a Fediverse account baked in. It should just come on your phone, and you should be able to interact with your social graph in various contexts using that app, mobile first. And I think, to harken back a little bit to the previous question, that will create good on-ramps for younger audiences who are looking to have good community.
Awesome. I've a different, so far we've talked about governments in the sense of like being regulators, but like the interesting part about the Fediverse is we also start to have governments that are like part of the Fediverse. Like a few European governments have set up their own Mastodon server, and like from my personal experience talking to them, like content moderation is definitely something to figure out still, like, because they have a different, they seem to, from my understanding at least, have a different set of goals, of like a broader set of goals, regular than just your average hobbyist server admin. They just set up a server and it's like, I'm going to federate with whoever they want. A government has way more of a sense of duty, of obligation, of like, I want to communicate with my, with my citizens. Like, has IFTAS been in touch? Does IFTAS has, or do you have thoughts about that? Like, how do you view
very that timely space? There will be a blog post this week or next week around how governments can use the Fediverse coming out on the IFTAS blog. I personally believe, and it's, you know, part of why I'm on the Fediverse, I don't understand why a publicly funded government would use private corporate media to get citizen messaging out. And if we think about folks like transportation agencies, weather services, you know, emergency services, it makes no sense to me that they should be rate limited by a company in California about how often they can talk to the citizens. And we've sort of grown accustomed to the fact that, well, this is where people are, and you have to meet people where they are for sure. They're in these platforms, they're on their phones, they use notifications. But I personally believe governments should run their own really simple social service, right? They, especially when they're trying to communicate with their citizens, it makes no sense to me that, especially non-US government agencies who are shoehorned into using, you know, companies that exist for profit in the United States. It makes no sense to me. I've personally been tracking governments and other agencies that are setting up their own services, and there's a link I can share later to a little directory I'm sort of maintaining and curating of media agencies, government agencies, companies who have said, yeah, we want to own our message. We want to know that when we say a thing, it goes out to the people who want to hear it. Because it would be like setting up a website, you know, going to services.gov and not being able to get through because you don't follow enough people, or you're not highly ranked enough. Like, if I go to the government, I want to access the government services and resources. So, yeah, I think Europe has led the way. Switzerland, Germany, Netherlands, City of Amsterdam, France all have great outings where they are getting agencies up and onto the Fediverse so that their messaging can go out. I don't know that there's too much interaction going on yet. And I would hope, and again, this is more about the protocol than the platform, but that to me is a broadcast activity. And I don't see why ActivityPub needs to force the notion that you must reply or accept replies to things. I think if the government wants to say there's an earthquake, I don't need 1,000 people to reply to me that no, there isn't. Right, I just need to say there's an earthquake, or whatever that you know vital citizen messaging is. So I would like to see more of that. The blog article next week will go into a little bit of detail. But I was, you know, my health background. I happened to be talking with the New York City Public Health Department a week or two ago, and you know, it was interesting timing there because New York City just announced last week that social media is a harm, and they're going to, you know, save the kids from social media. It's a public health issue, and they're on it. But nonetheless, there's a great example of a world leading public health agency that had tremendous trouble getting their message around COVID out. Right, to put COVID messaging out in toxic social media environments makes no sense to me, right? So I'm generally personally in favor of governments being in control of their message, and that control is beholden to the taxpaying and the citizens, not necessarily taxpaying. We're all citizens, but not at the cost of having to buy engagement or reach by paying a North American company to make sure your message is seen. It makes no sense. So I'm hopeful that we see broader adoption. I would love to see adoption in Africa. I would love to see adoption in Asia. North America can lag all it likes. I don't think anyone cares quite so much. But, you know, I think Europe, various governments in Europe have really demonstrated how it's possible, feasible, to stand these services up, not have to overly concern around content moderation. You know, they're not standing up services for you and I to sign up for, right? It is messaging. It is, you know, harken back to sort of RSS, getting your content in context out to the right people who've asked to receive it. I think we should look forward to seeing much more of that. So again, to the big picture, I think, 3 to 5 years from now, any government agency that doesn't have an ActivityPub service is going to stick out like a sore thumb.
Well, Jez, we're at about time for this session. Thank you so much for sitting down and just really being an open book with everything you're about, everything you're doing. As far as parting thoughts are concerned, are there any pieces of insight or wisdom or advice that you'd want to share to people either trying to do moderation and trust and safety on the Fediverse, or just trying to make their community slightly better for everybody?
What I would say, it's not that Iftas or I have wisdom. It's that the wisdom exists in the community. One of my most favorite responses to the needs assessment, you know, at the end, it's like any other comments, right? You can write whatever you want. And the one that sticks in my mind is it just says, together we are better. And so if you are doing this hard work, if you are fighting the good fight, if you are getting up, sitting in front of your computer and making the world better for your community and everyone else connected to it, please reach out. We won't have all the answers, and we might not have exactly the answers you're looking for, but I bet buried in all of our activities are people and resources that will elevate your day and increase your quality of life. So that's my parting thought is we want as many folks in the mix as possible so that we can get as many resources up and out to as many people as possible, knowing that there will be tremendous difference of opinion, of thought, of ideology, of approach, of policy, all of that. That's to be expected. We think we've built a framework within which that can coexist and where folks can, subject to our community participation guidelines, figure out the commonalities, draw from that, strengthen their services and their communities, and hopefully give back, right? Because this is a broad field. I do like to remind everyone, we have way more moderators than Twitter. They just don't sit in the same office. So let's find those strengths. Let's catalyze them. Let's synthesize them. Let's translate them. Let's get them into as many languages and as many hands as possible. So as the website comes out, please keep an eye on about.iftas.org. We are driven by the needs assessment, like I said up front. We don't have any answers. I am by no means the expert. I'm merely the guy that figured out how we get a bit of money and a bit of organization around trying to move some of this down the field. So please, please, please join us.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Jazz. It's been a pleasure hearing your insights. Thank you for joining us, listeners. This is the Decentered Podcast with WeDistribute. You can follow us on our website, news@wedistribute.org, for our articles. For the remainder of our posts, you can also see us on WeDistribute at mozilla.social. I'm Sean Tilley. I am Dead Superhero at mozilla.social.
And I'm Lawrence Hoff, and you can find me at lawrencehoff@anyweb.social.
And I'm Damon Outlaw, and you can find me at damon@mozilla.social.
If you'd like to support our podcast or any of our articles or journalistic efforts, feel free to check us out on patreon.com/wedistribute or opencollective.com/wedistribute. Thank you again, and you're the best. Bye.
This is a message from the future, about 4 weeks after recording. We're actually not on Mozilla Social anymore. For all of our socials, check us out on social.wedistribute.org instead.